In case you hadn't noticed, Christmas is officially over. By now, surely everyone has stripped their Christmas tree and set it out at the curb, and even the most incorrigible slacker must have taken down the Christmas lights and stored them away for another year. It's taken a little bit longer, but the church too finally acknowledges the end of the Christmas season. These past several weeks have witnessed an unbroken pageant of celebrations. The birth of Jesus on Christmas Day, the motherhood of Mary on January 1st, the arrival of the Magi at the Epiphany, and the baptism of Jesus last Sunday. But with this morning's Mass, we put all that behind us and quietly slip back into the familiar rhythms of ordinary time. For the next 6 weeks, until Lent begins, we'll dial down the pomp and circumstance and return to our ordinary way of celebrating Eucharist. However, do not be misled. Ordinary time does not mean unimportant time. Over the 34 weeks that constitute ordinary time, we will continue to plumb the stories about God that we hear in Scripture, hoping to know and love the heart of Jesus better. And as we endeavor to shape our hearts so that they become more closely fitted to the contours of Jesus's heart, we will find encouragement and sustenance here at the Lord's table. That's the slow and patient work of ordinary time, to know and love the heart of Jesus and to become the heart of Jesus in our world today. Did you happen to notice, by the way, that perplexing affirmation of John the Baptist in this morning's gospel? He says about Jesus, not once, but twice, "I did not really know him." That seems odd to me. After all, John was Jesus's cousin, barely 6 months older. It would have been inconceivable, I think, that they had never met. And yet John says quite clearly, "I did not know him." Perhaps John meant that before Jesus' baptism, he only knew him superficially. For John, Jesus was that yokel cousin, that backwoods carpenter, the one whose birth was shrouded in mystery. Moreover, Jesus' unremarkable personality during his first 30 years of life certainly did not fit the image of the Messiah that John had conjured up from his study of the Torah. However much he might have liked his cousin, John did not really know Jesus until he saw God's Spirit descend upon him at the baptism, until he heard those startling words coming from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That extraordinary experience convinced John that Jesus had somehow captured the life and breath and power and energy of God as no other human being ever had. And once John did recognize Jesus as God's chosen one, he spent the rest of his life bearing witness to him, preaching, baptizing, and drawing people's attention to Jesus. That, it seems to me, is our mission as disciples. First, to come and know Jesus at a deeper level, to discover once again who Jesus really is by listening with fresh ears and hungry hearts to the stories about what Jesus does, how he heals people who are broken, who Jesus loves, especially those who feel like they have somehow forfeited the right to be loved, what Jesus despises, notably the indifference and callousness of some people toward the suffering of others. Once we know better the heart of Jesus, as faithful disciples, we should strive to love the same things that Jesus loves and to reject the things that Jesus despises. And finally, if we allow God to shape our hearts to be more like the heart of Jesus, then it follows that we also must bear witness to Jesus. In other words, you and I will draw attention to those women and men who seem to capture the spirit of Jesus in a preeminent way. That's what disciples do. They seek to know Jesus, they endeavor to imitate Jesus, and by word and example, they point out others how Jesus wants to live in this city at this time with these limited resources at our disposal. Some disciples are able to achieve this capacity to imitate Jesus in extraordinary ways, like Martin Luther King, whose birthday we commemorate tomorrow. King was convinced that Jesus, always the herald of justice and champion of the oppressed, wanted him to be a warrior in the struggle against racial injustice. And Dr. King gave powerful witness to Jesus and to Jesus's mission with his own life and death. You and I are called to do the same thing, even if in less spectacular ways. We are called to point out, by word and example, the energizing presence of Jesus in our world today. Both the Jesus who continues to suffer in his burdened sisters and brothers, and the Jesus who, with powerful arm, can smash sinful structures that continue to oppress. And we'll grow more alert to that presence of Jesus as we gather here together each week to be challenged by God's word and nourished by Christ's body and blood. But it all begins by posing to ourselves the question of John the Baptist. How well do I know Jesus this morning? Do I really want to have a heart shaped like his? Am I willing to do what it takes to have my heart conformed to his heart? And if so, when was the last time I said that to Jesus?